Isaiah 43, verse 1. Let's hear the Lord's word. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this, and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow.
Thank you for joining us again here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're back to this fear not found in Isaiah 43, verse 1. Every Bible-reading Christian rejoices in finding the fear not passages of the Bible. It builds our confidence that the Lord is in control and will watch over us. Mind you, that doesn't mean that we walk out in front of a bus and just do anything silly that we might put our lives at risk. We are called to preserve life. We are called to take care. But there are many things that are beyond our control. And those are the things that we leave with the Lord. And here he is speaking to his own people, Israel. And God says, I created you. I formed you. I have redeemed you, and thou art called by my name. That's like me saying that I'm a Christian, that I am a Christ one, a follower of the Lord Jesus, and therefore I can use that name and plead it in prayer. And so for all the cares and problems of life, we can take our burdens to the Lord. Let's do that in prayer together now. Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us wonderful promises in the Word of God, in the Bible. They are right from Your heart to us, that we might apply them in times of difficulty and of trouble. O Lord, in this world we are in deep trouble. The nations are in trouble. We are crying out for mercy from this pandemic. And we think of the many that are shut in, isolated, lonely, others that are fearful, and those that are on the very front line facing risk every day against this infection. O Lord, we ask for deliverance, and we pray that You will remember Your people and remember Your wonderful promise that You have redeemed us and that we belong to Thee. And so we pray for Your watch care and Your blessing. Hear from heaven and answer for us. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, in keeping with that text that we read, we're going to move to our message today from our pulpit here in the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. The message is on Isaiah 43:1.
Now, the life of the Apostle Paul, he was in many fixes, many situations where he could have been filled with fear. But he says in 2 Timothy 4:16, look it up for me, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. And here is Paul giving his own account how he was disappointed by men. Many forsook him, and that's going to happen to you too, I assure you. If you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to be let down by people. It's going to happen, and you're going to be discouraged by that perhaps. But you'll notice how Paul puts it. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Here is a mighty, mighty testimony of the Apostle Paul in a difficult situation, and he was not living in fear, but in faith, because the Lord stood with him and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. His ministry was not hindered. The effectiveness of the gospel was not limited, because while men forsook him, the Lord stood by him. Now, do you think the Lord could do that for you? Do you think that the Lord can manifest His presence and give you such inner strength that you will be able to witness that when I was in that tight spot, when I was in that difficulty, the Lord stood with me? You know, I've been praying this week, Lord, I need to experience that right here in this pulpit. The hour of need in my life, every week of each week I live as the minister of this church, I need the Lord right here in this spot. And I've been praying that I will have, by experience, a strengthening of my heart, my faith, my soul, my spirit, my inner man, that I will be able to preach this word, not in my strength, but in the strength of the Lord. And that means I come to this pulpit not with fear, but with faith, having asked the Lord to stand along with me. There's another man who was in a very difficult place, and that is Stephen, when he was martyred. You read of that in Acts 7. And when Stephen was martyred, he looked up and he saw the living Christ, and his face shone in martyrdom. Now, you read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you will read accounts of many men, some women too, who gave their life at a stake or in execution because of their faith, and their faces, their lives shone. They sang as the fires leapt around them. How can that be? Because the Lord promises when you go through waters, rivers, and the fire, I will be with thee. That's the promise. He didn't promise no persecution. He didn't promise no trouble. But he said, when you do find yourself in trouble, I will be with thee. And there we find our fear-free living. Another man I thought of was John, the oldest apostle on the Isle of Patmos, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. An aged man in a rocky, craggy island with the sea lipping around him, lonely and destitute. But there he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, you can't be in the Spirit and not have the presence of the Lord. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, God has not abandoned you. You are full of faith and full of the presence of the Lord. And so this is fear-free living. Fear not. I am with thee. Now, that's the promise. We need a foundation to stand upon in this promise. And what is the promise? It's redemption. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. That really is the bottom line of it. And God's possession of us, his ownership of us, if you will, the fact that we belong to Jesus, is behind this promise to sustain us. Now remember that the promise is to sustain. And God literally did that with Daniel and his friends when they were literally in the fire, those Hebrew children, those who would not bow, they would not bend, and they would not burn. And the fire didn't even touch or singe their hair. There wasn't even the smell of the fire about them. It was a great and marvelous protection. And so Christians who are redeemed are undefeatable. Now, in my notes, I made this word and I had to scratch it out because it wouldn't be true. I had in Christians are unburnable. But that wouldn't be true, would it? We know of Christians who in days of martyrs, burned at the stake, burned in persecution. But it would be true to say that Christians are undefeatable because nothing can destroy our faith, our standing with God, or our hope of heaven. The Christian will come through intact. And on what basis is it true? That's really what we need to get here tonight. How can we dogmatically, affirmatively say this, that we will not be defeated? Well, we have our personal possession. Jesus says, "Thou art mine. Thou art mine." We belong to Jesus, and God lays his claim upon his own. And this is no some politically correct statement just for the sake of it. It is the Lord's heart. He has his own children. He says, "You're mine. You're mine. I have a people in this world, and they are mine." He calls them in Zechariah the apple of his eye. Isn't that wonderful? Now, would you let anything or anyone touch the apple of your eye? Anyone playing around at your face or your nose? You might let them touch your nose or some part of your body, but you're not going to let them touch your eye. And the Lord says, "Thou art mine." In Isaiah 49:15, you may want to turn to this one, it's so close. The Lord calls his people that we are like a sucking child. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now, mothers, you know that there's a biological reason why you can't forget your child when it's feeding time. And there's a pain in your body that you must have that child fed. A mother cannot forget her suckling child. And God says, "I cannot forget my people." Now, going back to Isaiah 42 and verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God." We are a personal possession. We are a holy possession. You notice he quotes it here, verse 3, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Now, why did God bring that up? Well, what has that got to do with it? What has it got to do with the fact that God is holy, that he's righteous, that he is complete and perfect? What has it got to do with the possession of his people? It means that he will do right. It means that he will not lie. He will not fail. In verse 3, we are also a costly possession. He says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. And when you think about it, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, Egypt was destroyed. It was impoverished, embarrassed, brought to nothing. And then there's reference here to Ethiopia and Seba, and all of these are African nations. And no doubt they would have risen up against God's people. We learned about King Asa, how that million-man army came from Ethiopia. God destroyed that army. He just wiped them out. They're gone. And God destroyed other nations, brought them to ruin, all to protect his own people. That's the history. It speaks for itself. And here is God reminding his people to rest, that we are a holy possession, a costly possession. And as Christians, you think of the cost that our Savior paid to purchase our redemption. Much more than a nation, but it cost the Son of God Calvary, Calvary sufferings, his own blood unto death. And he laid down his life for our redemption, to purchase us, that we would be his people. And so it's true, he will not forget us. He will be with us. All of these are arguments and reasonings to get through our thick minds. It's true. It's true. And a Christian, of course, cannot minimize the value and the worth of our redemption. And don't let the devil say to you, you're worthless. Don't let the devil say that you don't matter to God. You are the most precious in all of this world. God gave nations, and he's given his Son for your redemption. Number 4, verse 4, an honorable possession. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. What does honorable mean here? It means adding weight. It means bringing glory to God. And that is the biblical definition of glory, God's glory. It's his weight. It's the reverence that he's due. It's the honor that is to his name. And here is this people that he's bought out, that he has purchased at such a price that he will not forget, because they bring glory to his name. And if we end up lost, where is God's great name? Where is the glory that is due unto him? After all, that's why he has saved his people. That's why he entered into a covenant of grace, that he would glorify his own great name. And so all of these are the reasons that are laid out. Verse 4 again, we are a beloved possession. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. It really all comes down to God's amazing, sovereign love. Why me? Why us as believers tonight? Just because he set his love upon us. That's it. There is no reason. There's many reasons why we should be lost and destroyed and damned in hell. Yet God, in his wonderful grace, has chosen us. Now, I wanted to do my homework in verse 4, and I looked up Young's commentary on verse 4. You'll notice that it starts out with the word since. Since thou wast precious. What does that all mean? Mr. Young says it means due to the fact. Due to the fact, the verse gives the reason why God has redeemed Israel. Because he loved them. He set his love upon them. In his eyes, Israel has been precious. And God has placed upon that nation an esteem he did not show other peoples. Love involves choice and exclusion. Men, you only married one woman, right? Why her? Why did you love one and not others? You chose, you set your love upon one. God makes choices when he loves his people. And we are an elect people, chosen from before the foundation of the world. And because of his love to us, he says, when you go through trouble, the waters, the rivers, the fire, I will be with thee. All of these are reasons to back up his great promise, I will be with thee. And it brought me to think of that wonderful hymn that we have in our hymn book, 439, which says, now I belong to Jesus. And what a great theme that is. And that's the argument here. That's the argument we have. Now I belong to Jesus. And because I belong to him, he belongs to me. Not for time, but for eternity. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And when you boil down these statements in Isaiah 43, you will find it comes to this great truth that we are sustained by the presence, the help of God, because he loves us. That's really it. That's the bottom line. He loves us. Now, we'll never find out the why he loved us. But we must bow and thank him for the fact and the wonder of it. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he came to redeem. Now I belong to Jesus. Can you sing that song with all your heart tonight? It brings a strength of faith. The fact that you belong to him, possession is behind the promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I must wrap up very quickly, but you'll notice that this redeemed have a future assurance of being sustained. Verses 5 through 7, fear not, I am with thee. Here's another fear not in verse 5. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Now, Judah or Israel at this time, they were in danger of being scattered. You know this whole history of the diaspora of the Jewish nation, the Israelites. They were scattered in all directions. And God says, I'm going to bring you from the east and from the west. I'll bring you from Babylon, from the Chaldeans in the east, and I'll bring you from the Mediterranean countries in the west, and I will bring my people together. And in verse 6, he says, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. Now, every Christian has a concern for the rising generation. But the Lord says, I will be with thee. Can we take that to heart tonight as a church? To pray for our families in the church, for the children. Sunday school is wrapping up next Sunday. Can we pray this week that the Lord will remember his wonderful promise that he will gather together his people from the east and from the west and bring them together? I don't have time to preach many more on this chapter, but there's one verse I want to show you, and that's verse 19. God says, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. A wondrous thing. A thing that was never done before. A new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the Lord in the history of his church has shone and worked that new thing over and over again. Can the Lord do a new thing in your life? Is He able? Does He love you enough? Is He got the will to do it? Is that His purpose? It certainly is. What then do we need to do? Look at verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. And he says to his people, you're weary. You have lost sight of me. You've lost sight of the promises. Maybe that's where we've gone cold. Maybe that's where we've gone prayerless. We have lost sight of the promises. You've become weary of me. Don't let that happen. As we do outreach this week, let's remember that text in Mark 16 and verse 20, that the Lord went with them working. The Lord went with them. That's what we need. And that's what we're promised. And that's what we're going to have. We've got to claim the promise and go forth in the Lord's name, and He will be with us. I will be with thee. Can you take that tonight and live upon it? Fear-free, faith in display. The Lord says, I will be with thee. Let's close our meeting. Wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, for come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, the billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.